1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. My subject, pastors dealing with conflicts in his church. I beseech you, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Cleo, that there are contentions among you. Now, this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I'm using this passage basically as a springboard to other portions of the Bible, since my subject can and should be answered from the Word of God in various passages. I don't need to instruct you this morning as to the truth of the fact that there was conflict in the church at Corinth. I looked up this word conflict in the Bible, and it's only found twice in the Bible, and neither time does it apply to this subject, but the meaning is the same, whether it's in the two places that it is mentioned or whether it is in the ministry. The word can be translated contention, and it really means any struggle that one has. My first point this morning is that trouble will occur in a New Testament Baptist church. If you haven't had it, and you're a young preacher here today, you will have it. James gives us the reason why conflict and trouble come to pass in the lives of people of God in a church. He begins by asking a question in James 4 and verse 1. Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even from your lust that war in your members? What a clear passage concerning the origin of all the conflicts that go on in churches. It comes from inside people. It's lurking and laying in the hearts and in the minds of those who are out of the will of God. In the passage or in the book of Corinthians, if we was to take time to go to each text that I'm going to just briefly mention to you, you can see the origin of trouble. It came from an incorrect view of the leaders that these people were involved in. You know, people can become preacher worshipers. They can lift up the man of God where he ought not to be lifted up, because if we get lifted up, we too become prideful. We need to be warned about that. But one was following Paul, and one was following Apollos, and one was following Cephas, and one Christ. So these are some of the ideas that came to my mind concerning conflict and where they come from. It can come from an incorrect faith that people supposedly have. When Paul said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And when people cause trouble in churches, and they do, and I'll get to this later, but sometimes preachers cause trouble in churches. And I won't exempt myself from that either. Neither will I exempt you from it, because you've been in the ministry a long time. An incorrect faith. Putting our trust in men and in the abilities of men instead of coming together as the church of Jesus Christ for one purpose and one aim. And that's not to have our own fancies satisfied, but it's to worship the true and the living God. And all of these problems you're going to deal with if you're a preacher here this morning. And especially you who most of us have been in it long enough to know that we don't go into a church now thinking this is going to be heaven on earth. We know that trouble comes. It can come from those who are immature in their faith, or as Paul said, I cannot speak unto you as spiritual, but unto fleshly people or carnal people, even as unto babes in Christ. And you can never satisfy a child. And there are some church members that you will pastor in your life that no matter how good a preacher you are, and no matter how God leads you, you will never be able to pacify them. So you might as well get it in your mind now that I am not going to be a pacifying preacher. I'm not going to pet and baby church members. I'm not going to do it. Because if you do, you got to keep it up. And after a while, you run out of places to go with these people. They're out there. Sometimes trouble can come about as a result of people committing immorality in the church, such as the church at Corinth. All these problems exist in this book. Paul said, it's reported commonly among you that there's fornication among you, such fornication as it is not so much named among unbelievers, Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. Now, I think that was his stepmother. Immorality. That causes trouble, wouldn't you say, in the church? Especially in our day and time when people, you know, you never cease to be amazed at how people think and what they do, and nothing should shock us anymore, even though it does shock us. But young people today, they say, we're not going to go together, we're going to live together. And that causes trouble in churches. Married couples slipping around committing adultery causes trouble in churches. It also came from their unwillingness to deal with trouble in the correct way. Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? We're certainly not going to do that. We're not going to settle our problems with the church. We're not going to come before them and, so to speak, air our dirty laundry. It also came from an improper celebration of the Lord's Supper. Picnic time. All of these things can happen and do happen in Baptist churches today. Coming together for not the right purpose in celebrating the Lord's table. And it can come from an abuse of the gifts that people have in churches. In Corinthian times, it was in chapter 12, 13, and 14 when the various gifts were distributed by the Holy Spirit among the people of God, and it caused problem in the church. In our day and time, it's who can play the instruments the best, or who can sing the best, or who is the best Bible teacher, and how many preachers you have in the church? Anybody need any preachers? I got four. Can send you some. And I got all my eyes, two of them, on all four of them. And you share these things. And sometimes jealousy will creep in, and he let him preach, but he didn't let me preach, and so forth and so on. But he lets them sing, and he didn't let us sing. And my child has a good talent, and they didn't sing. And all of these problems, if you're a young preacher today, you will deal with in your church one day. They're going to come up. They're going to creep up, and you cannot be educated into believing that you can have all the answers to these problems. But these problems do come and will come. As I said, if you have not had trouble in a church, you will. It's lurking in every bosom of every believer in your congregation, if not from them, from yourself. And preachers cause problems also. And I know we don't want to admit it, but we do. And pride is at the top of the list for reasons trouble cannot be handled in a timely fashion and in a godly manner. It is because of pride. I'm not going to settle it the way the Bible says settle it. So how do we deal with them? First of all, we find the source of the problem. That's got to be, you got to do that, people. Someone says, I have cancer, but it'll go away. I doubt it. It's not likely to happen. Some do go away, but not many. Sometimes trouble can come up in a church and nobody even know anything about it, and it goes away if the preacher knows how to handle the problem. It is so difficult for young pastors to know how to deal with problems, especially in his first church. The children of Israel, in taking the land that God had promised them, found themselves on the run. And they set to take Ai, a small company of men, and they ran, and a few of them were killed. And Joshua got on his face, and he prayed before the Lord God of heaven and said, Israel have sinned, and they have taken the accursed thing. Now you know what must be done. In Joshua 7 and verse 19, and Joshua said unto Achan, he's finding the source. My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. Thus and thus have I done. Finding the source of the problem. This nation couldn't fight the war anymore. They couldn't get the victory anymore because somebody did something that they were not supposed to do. And if you don't think that you can hinder a church, just one of you, wake up and smell the coffee. Because you can do it. Your pride in your own having, I'm going to have my way. It's my way or the highway. It's going to be me. And there are people that live to destroy churches. They live to do it. Don't come to Raleigh Springs Baptist Church. Because we're not going to fight there. And it's not going to be my way or the highway, but I can tell you right now, we're not going to fight in that church. We haven't done it for 18 years and we're not going to do it now, and I'm not going to allow it to happen, and I'm going to, by the grace of God and the power of God and the wisdom that God gives me, I'm leading that church to be a victorious church, and our main purpose on the earth in Memphis, Tennessee is not to pacify some church member, but it is to bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way I handle that will bring honor to the Lord. Or bring shame to the church. So once you find the source of the problem, deal with it. I almost hesitate to tell you this, but brother, he said he used human examples. Well, Jesus did. Things that happened in his life. I received a telephone call just recently. I don't want to go into too much detail, for I don't want anybody to know who this was that called me. But anyway, it was a preacher. And it was about his family. And somebody in the church said something about his daughter. He was broken. And I told him, find out who did it. Deal with them. He did. He found out that the person who said what they said was passing on secondhand knowledge, or secondhand gossip, rather, after he went to his daughter's house and found out really what happened. So he dealt with it. I don't recommend this, but it worked for him. On Sunday morning, he asked after the service if all the visitors would leave. He had a matter that he needed to deal with in the church, and he dealt with it. And you know the way he dealt with it? And I'm not recommending this to you because I believe that every pastor of every New Testament church has to deal with a problem based on the situation that he's in, his understanding of the situation. But this brother handled it this way. He called on the lady in the church that had spread the gossip to stand up before the church. Ask her to repeat the gossip. She couldn't. He told the truth of what happened. She wept and asked for forgiveness. He said, the church will forgive you, but you need to talk to my daughter. And when they got it all straightened out, this I do recommend. When they got it all straightened out and they had dealt with it, he said, when I go to the back door to shake hands, the matter is over with. And I don't want anybody to say anything to anybody anymore about it. And I can tell you this, we can sweep it under the rug and we can do all that we want to do with that, but I'm telling you, we must deal with the problems when they come up. Most of us want to run. Joshua dealt with a problem with Achan and his family. We don't do it this way, but listen to this. And they took them in the midst of the tent. Took them out of the midst of the tent. Brought them unto Joshua and the children of Israel and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his asses, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had. And they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble you this day. And all Israel stoned them with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Grace, grace. I prefer grace than this. That's not the way we handle things. We're not going to stone anybody. We're not going to burn anybody. We're not going to destroy anybody's personal belongings. But you get the point. Find the source. Get off of your face and quit praying. You know what's wrong, Joshua. Find the boy. Bring him out. Point him out. People will solve a lot of problems, and preachers too. If someone calls you up and wants to cause trouble in the church by gossiping or any other thing that might be going on in the church, if you'll say, just a minute, let's get that person here. Let me call them up on their cell phone. Most time people don't want to involve the parties they're talking about or they're causing troubles with. And I'm going to tell you something, young preacher that's here, and I don't know how many young preachers are here. Most of us done been through all of this. But I'm going to tell you something. Stop it before it gets into the church body. Go to the problem. Solve it. Find the source of it. Have the courage and the wisdom to do what the Bible says. Solve the problem. Keep it out of the church as long as you can, unless it must be brought before the church. And you'll be better off for doing that. Recently, there was something that came up in our church. Didn't come up in our church. I was actually in my office studying, and they have a once a month ladies' prayer breakfast. I don't know what they do there. I've been there one time and spoke for them, but they usually just have coffee and refreshments, and then they pray with their prayer list that we have in the church, and they pray for us and missionaries and what have you, and it's usually a good time for them to get together. But I went back to get a cup of coffee and then head back to my office, and one of the persons that was there said something to this effect. Yeah, all Jack Duperchin wants to do, or he's got all this money and all these members from Pilgrim's Hope Baptist Church. He just wants to leave this area and build him a big church. When that woman said that to me, boy, you talk about Cajun blood rolling in my brain and in my head. It did. I said, who told you? Oh, I can't tell you. I said, who told you? Let them come to me and tell me that. Let them come to me. I'm not afraid of any of them or of anybody but the Lord. Let them come to me and tell me that. I said, number one, Brother Wayne can tell you, we have got not one nickel from his
abandoned church. We got most of the members. But what they were saying was untrue. And I went back to my office the next morning. That particular person that had told me this came to my office and asked me to forgive her for causing the grief that she caused. I said, "You're forgiven." "Who told you?" "I'm going to find out. And it better not be a church member." And thank God it wasn't. And when she told me where it came from, I considered the source and buried it. It's gone. But we would do well to get to the source of it and deal with it before it ever... My church people never knew anything about it. And I don't want them to know anything about it. See, we're willing to keep it outside the church. And I'm telling you this morning that our purpose for gathering in the house of God 3 times a week is not for what people think it's for. It is to worship and adore the Lord our God and study the Bible and be edified and love one another in fellowship. It's not to pacify some one church member that's got his business all out of order. We're not going to do it at Raleigh Springs Baptist Church. I don't know what you're going to do, but we are not going to do it. Of course, my barks, you know, I'm not as mean as I act sometimes. But I can tell you this, that I'm just not going to fight with people anymore. And they're not going to fight. And we had some people join, and I told them, I said, "Look, you join this church if that's what the Lord leads you to do. 2 things you got to know when you join this church. You don't have to believe everything I preach. You don't have to believe everything the church believes. But this is what we believe, and this is what I believe. And if you want to join, join. If you want to fight, I will show you the door." They won't have to. I am. And I will. I'm the pastor of the church. I'm not a dictator. I'm a pastor of the church. And all those that's been there with me all the years, they know I'm not a dictator. But they're not going to tell me what to do. I'm the spiritual leader of that church. The Lord's not going to tell them. He's going to lead me. And I'm going to lead them. And I'm going to have enough wisdom, I hope, and enough spirituality about myself to help the church, not hurt it. So once you deal with it and find the source of it, restore them if possible. Galatians 6 and 1 says, "Brethren, if any man be overtaken by the fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." And I have to work on this. The spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest you also fall and be tempted. People can mess up in a church and they say, "You never catch me doing that." Really? Who'd ever thought that David would see a woman taking a bath and then decide, "That's who I want. I'm going to get her, and I don't care what it costs me. I'm not going to count the cost. I'm going to take her. She's mine. I want her. And whatever it costs me to get her, I'm going to get her." And see, that's the way the lust of the flesh is. You can never satisfy it. We need to restore people if we can do it. We need to do it in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest we also be tempted. Some preacher might say, "You'll never catch me doing that." He'll be the first one you'll catch doing it. By the grace of God, we don't want to bring shame on the ministry and upon the church of Jesus Christ, but we can do it. We may even do it and not even know it, because sometimes we're the cause of the problem. The story of the prodigal son, many of you believe different about that, I'm sure, but it doesn't really matter, because I just want to use it just like to show you the boy was unsatisfied, so he wanted everything that he had. And he found himself, he was actually empty. He came to himself. He went back to his father's house. And the Bible says that when he was a great way off, his father saw him, welcomed him back, received him back into the fold, killed a fatted calf, put a ring on his hand and a robe on him. "This is my son that was dead and he's alive again." And they rejoiced because he was brought back. One of the greatest things that a New Testament Baptist church can do is welcome back a repenting church member who's been disciplined. And forget the problem, not just been dealt with, forget it and never bring it up again, and try to encourage these people. And I know that everyone has their own way of doing things. Finding the source dealing with it and all of those things, but I think we ought to deal with it properly. There's some problems you just can't deal with. There's some people you can't deal with. There are some people that you cannot live peaceably with. There are some people who live from the day that they are born on this earth to cause trouble. And they get into the church and they continually are causing trouble. They live for it. They love it. They sleep on it. I had a man call me one time and said, "Brother Jackie, them deacons still sleeping on the end of your bed?" I said, "Yeah, they've been there for about 4 years. They won't leave." And what he meant was I was trying to preach the truth and I had 10 deacons. If you never had 10 deacons in a Baptist church and you're trying to preach the doctrines of grace, you have not lived. Plus all the church members that were there. How do you deal with something properly? Had a man call me one time. He said, "You know, brother, I know you've been in the ministry a long time, but I want to talk to you about what our pastor's doing." I said, "Forget it. You're not talking to me about your pastor. I don't hear nothing about it. I got enough on my plate. I'm not dealing with your church problems. And you're not going to tell me anything about it." He hung the phone up before I could get the rest of it out. Which I was glad. You got something wrong in your church with your pastor, have the guts to go to him. Amen. Have the courage to go to him. And you better be warned that the Bible says, against an elder, receive not an accusation except by 2 witnesses and maybe 3. So how do you deal with it? Matthew 18 and 15, Jesus said, "If a brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, you've gained a brother." This is the way most people do this. If your brother trespasses against you, you go tell somebody else about his faults. Isn't that the way they do it? Instead of going to the brother, trying to work it out. How many of you, don't raise your hand, answer it in your mind. How many of you like a peaceable household? You like your family to be at peace with one another. You want your children to be at peace. And you want the husband and wife to be at peace. And you don't want arguments and you don't want disturbance in the home. I would say that all of us do. Why shouldn't we feel that way about the church? Why shouldn't we feel that this is a refuge? A house of refuge. This is a place where we honor Christ. This is a place where we learn the Bible. We'd rather be here than anywhere. This is God's house and then God's time. And we come together and we don't want to fuss and fight and argue. But if we have to do it, we got the problem. Deal with it properly. Go to the person yourself. Don't involve nobody else with you. A drowning person wants everybody to drown with them. Sin is like that. People get involved in these kind of things. And ladies and gentlemen, it's a sin. And sin likes company. If you do this, you gain a brother or sister. But if he won't hear you, here's the second step. Take with you, involve somebody else, one or two more that in the mouth of 2 witnesses, quoting from the Old Testament, or 3 witnesses of a word may be established. Thirdly, if he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Involve the church. Go to him. If you gain him, wonderful. If he won't hear you, bring 2 or 3 with you. If you won't hear them, bring it to the church. And if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. The fifth thing, forgive them their wrong. People say all the time, I forgive them, but I'm not forgetting it. You ever heard them tell you that? I doubt very seriously they ever forgave them. Peter asked the Lord, said, How often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. When we think of the many times that we sin against God and he forgives us, it ought to be easy for us to forgive anybody that has wronged us in this life and wronged us in the church. But it's not easy. And the reason it's not easy is because I'm not going to do it. And the preacher sometimes gets caught in all of this and he has to try to bring it all together. And you're going to have to deal with that. All of these things I'm talking about, you're going to have to deal with that. Let me close this morning because it's already 5 to 12. Conflicts are real and we know that. But I think the best way to have victory in these conflicts is by love. 1 Corinthians 13, don't turn, gives us the great balancing factor. The value of love. You may be able to preach and have tremendous gifts and anointing. You may give and sing and praise and pray. But if you cannot love, you cannot solve problems. If you cannot have affection for people, if you cannot have compassion and mercy and place yourself in their shoes and try to understand where they're coming from, then there is no way of solving that problem. But love shall cover a multitude of sins, the Bible says. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 says, but as touching brotherly love, you need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. If you're not, don't know how to love somebody, it's because you don't know God, because God teaches his people how to love one another. And there's great virtues in love. Love thinks not of itself, and that's a virtue. You know, you try to tell young people about that if you're really in love with somebody, you don't think about yourself, you think about them. If you really want the church to prosper, and you really want your ministry to prosper, you can't think of yourself, preacher. You must think of them and Christ and what he did for us and the great victory that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you must say it is for the cause of the kingdom of Jesus Christ on this earth until he comes back to receive us. We must solve these problems that we have. And we must deal with them properly because we're going to have to deal with them. Let me say this in closing. I've done the very opposite of this, I'm sure. Never handle conflicts from the pulpit. You can't handle them. Preacher told me that when I was young, but I said, he don't know what he's talking about. But he did. Never handle conflicts from the pulpit. Never fight over church projects. Never let it be said it's my way or the highway. Never break up a church over nothing. Never surrender your convictions to get along. But remember, those convictions are yours. Never rule with a rod of iron. Leave that to Christ. Never overcome evil with evil actions. Never quit preaching Christ. Never change pulpits because of trouble. And it looks greener on the other side. When I was on the Southern Baptist Convention, if you had a little trouble in church, you just find out where all the pulpit committees were going. See if you could get your names circulated around. And there was usually a pulpit committee all the time coming around. So what you could do, instead of dealing with the problem, instead of facing it and doing what the Bible says do, you could go somewhere else and you'd be on the honeymoon for a while. And then when the honeymoon runs out, somebody else will come along and get you. At least that's what you hope for. That you could slip away. Listen to this in Romans 12, 17 to 21, and I'll close. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it's possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him a drink. For in due sowing, you shall heap coals of fire on his head. Quote from the Old Testament. Be not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. You can never solve all problems all the time in every church that you have, but you are called of God, and you just remember somebody's already walked that path. Somebody's already been that way. Some preacher has already had to deal with that. Call some preacher that you have confidence in. Talk to him. Listen to his wisdom and his guidance and all of that. There's wisdom and counsel, and you can never do it all by yourself. And I'm going to tell you something in defense of church people and church members. There's always somebody in your church as a pastor. There's always going to be somebody in that church, some man that you can count on, that you can love, and that'll help you. I just buried one. Such a blessing to me. I pastored him for 18 years and he was always the same. He never changed. And I went to his bedside after I flew back from California in the meeting, and I went there and he could no longer communicate. But when he was dying and moments away from death and hours away from death, I got down in his ear because I had called on him so many times and he had sat in my office and I would say to him, "Brother Jordan, what can I do with this situation? How do I handle this? You have more years of wisdom than I do." And I said, "Brother Jordan, this is Brother Jackie and I love you and Jesus loves you." And I had to get down in his ear because he couldn't hear when he had good health, and he couldn't hear then. And I knew if I could get close enough, they say the last thing that goes is his hearing, is the hearing. I said, "And Jesus Christ loves you." Tears came out of his eyes.
Hardest funeral I ever preached, really. To be honest with you, Brother Camp was there. He's seen the struggle I had trying to preach my friend's funeral. You got somebody in your church and maybe even more than one. And I'm going to tell you, most people who come to church, they come for the right reason. And you got to love them. And you got to pray with them. And you got to share with them. And you got to correct them and rebuke them and edify them as a preacher of the gospel. And one day when you have finished your course and fought the fight and kept the faith, you'll hear the words from Jesus. "Has been faithful over a few things. Enter thou into the joys of the Lord." Father, we thank you for the privilege to be a preacher, the privilege to be a pastor. And I do count it